Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Chaf Aleph in Maseches Sukkah. It's the 580th daf. We're going to begin from the beginning of the second parak, which is on Chaf Amud Beis, and we'll Bezras Hashem go to the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Our Mishnah is going to discuss the halachos of someone who is sleeping under a bed, which serves as a separate oel, that according to many opinions, one would not be Yotze. The Gemara will discuss the status of an Oel inside of a Sukkah, whether the Oel is above 10 Tfachim or less than 10 Tfachim, and that will get us into the Halachos of Ohalos and the fascinating phenomenon described in Maseches Para about how they took children who had never become Tamei to do the Milui Hamayim to be Mikadesh the Mei Chatos for the Para Aduma, and that will get us involved with how they made sure that the child would never become Tame, and when he rode in a way that he was on top of an Oel, a fascinating halacha of Oel, that will take us all the way into Amud Beis, which we'll then discuss when you have an Oel Arai being Mevatel, an Oel Keva in Hilchos Sukkah. Finally, we're going to discuss Tevi, the Eved of Rebbe Gamliel, that's going to come up in our Mishnah that we will begin right now. Let's begin, Bezer Hashem, second parak in Maseches Sukkah, the 580th daf in Shas. Hayoshen tachas hamita basukkah lo yotza yidei chayvasei. Someone who sleeps under a bed in the Sukkah is not yotze his obligation. Amar Rebbe Yehuda toa noyegino yinu sheyinu sheinim tachas hamita mifnei hazikenim. We used to sleep under a bed. Rabbi Yehuda objects and says, we used to sleep under a bed in front of this kainim, and this kainim didn't say anything about this. This might sound familiar because we learned this on Yud Amud Beis and Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon gives us another piece of information. Maisa b'tevi avdoi sh'Rabbi Gamliel. Tevi, the servant of Rabbi Gamliel, did the following. He was sleeping under the bed. And Rabbi Gamliel said to the Zakenim, did you see Tevi, my servant? He is a Talmud Chacham. And he knows that our Avodim are Potter Min Asukkah. And that's why he sleeps under a bed. And we learned from this, as the whole point of Rabbi Gamliel, that sleeping under your bed, one would not be yotze. So Rabbi Shimon rejects Rabbi Yehuda's raya from Noah Ginayinu from a different story where they slept under the bed. Rashi explains in Dibra Maskel Noah Ginayinu that the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is that we say, lo asi oyel arai umevatel oyel keva. The bed is a diras arai, and it's not mevatel sukkah, which is a diras keva. The Gemara in Chaf Aleph Amud Beis will tell us why most of the Tanoim in our Mishnah disagree with Reb Yehuda. Continues the Gemara, or the Gemara begins, how could it be that a yashin tachas amita is a problem, and one is not yotze, one's mitzvah, va'aleko asara, but there isn't 10 tfachim space between the bed and the ground? Answers the Gemara, Tirgama Shmuel answered, Bemita Asara, the Inachanami, we're talking about when the bed is above 10 tfachim from the ground. Because if the bed would be less than 10 tfachim from the ground, in such a case, there would be no hefsek, there would be no break between the person and the sukkah, because if it's less than 10, it's not considered a separate oel. Now the Gemara begins to analyze the halachas of a oel vis-a-vis Tuma. What we're going to discuss is the Mishnah in Olas in Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin that's going to give us examples of those things that serve as an Oel, which Chazal referred to as Mevian es Hatuma or Mayil al Hatuma. And that is, as we've discussed in the past in our Masechta, we had it already earlier, on Daf Yud Chesam and Aleph, this concept of Oel, where we discussed the halacha of a skylight and a mace that's under the skylight, or an object that's under the skylight,
So similarly, we have this concept of an OL bringing tumah. Says the Mishnah Olas, Echad chor shecharu mayim. If you have a hole that was furrowed by water, o shratzim, or it was furrowed by insects, o shechalto malachas, or it was eaten, it was eroded by salt, v'chein midbach avanim, as well as a pile of stone, v'chein sar shel koros, as well as a pile of wood, mal ala toma, that serves as an oel for toma, and they will bring, says Rashi on the last line of our Amud, the toma from one area to another in the oel. So if you have a body in one corner and the kli in another corner, in such a case the kli will become tame as long as they're both under these contraptions. Rabbi Hudaimer, kol oel she'ino asu bidei adam eino oel. Any tent that is not made by human hands is not an OL. All the above examples particularly were given to us in Olos to teach us that even if they're natural tents, they're made by nature, for example, the salt that eroded an area that served as an OL, that would also serve as an OL according to Tanakam, while Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Explains the Gemara. My time into Rabbi Yehuda. What is Rabbi Yehuda's rationale? Yalef oil, oil, mi mishkan, connected to Parshas HaShavua. He learns out the word oil in regards to Tumas oil, that the Torah tells us in Parshas Chukas, Zoyz HaTorah Adam Ki Yomus Ba'oil, that over there the expression of oil is used, as well as when it comes to the Mishkan. Vayifras es oil al HaMishkan. So, Ksiv Hacha, Zoyz Taras Adam Ki Yomus Ba'oil, Ksiv Hasam Yifras oil al HaMishkan, Ma'la Halam Bidei Adam, just like when it comes to the Mishkan, it was made by man. Afkam bidei adam. The Rabbanon disagree. Oil, oil, riba. They say there's a special riba. In Parshas Parah, in Parshas Chukas, it's mentioned quite a few times. Rashi on the first line explains the halachas of oil. And since it's mentioned a few times, that's coming to tell us that there is an din of oil even on natural made tents. Says the Gemara, six lines from the Tafis of Rabbi Yehuda, kol oil sheino asu bei adam eino oil. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold any tent that wasn't made by man is not considered oil? Or a minu? I'll ask you the following kasha. Again, another Maramakam, this time from Parah, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis. Chatzeres hayu binuyos b'Yerushalayim al gabei asela. There were courtyards that were built in Yerushalayim on top of a rock. V'tachteim chalal mipnei kever hatahom. Now this Mishnah in Parah is a very dramatic Mishnah. Let's take a look at Rashi, who gives us the background. Let's do the whole Rashi inside, and then begin to try to understand the Mishnah. Let's take a look at Rashi. Umeviim nashim ovros mishuma hidisnan perikil Mishnah zayin mitamin hayes hakoyin aserif esaparah umatvilin oisay miyad. When it came to the Sreifas Parah Aduma, they used to do something fascinating. They used to defile the Kohen who burnt the Parah Aduma. And then they would take him immediately to the mikvah. Why would they do such a thing? The reason they made him Tame, that's a big chiddush. Why did they make him Tame? Because to show that we don't accept the approach of the Sadducees. In other words, if someone becomes Tamei, he would not be able to simply go to the mikvah, according to Tzedukim, to be involved with the Avodah Zapara, but rather he needed to wait for Herav Shemesh. We, our Mesorah, the tradition of the Prushim was to disagree. Even the Tful Yom Kasher Bepara, since we hold that Tful Yom is Kasher Bepara, so then we were even Metame the Kohen, Asarav HaSapara, and then Madbilin Osa Miyad, and then he would burn the Para. Now this caused a fascinating halachic phenomenon. Once Chazal did this, they felt the importance to go in the other direction as well. It says Rashi, "V'kimu the tful yom kasher b'para also b'maidlus har bekideshi lo yizalzluba." And because of this, they, since there was this leniency, they made many chumras in Parah Aduma. Tiknu kol masa para b'klei galalim b'klei avanim b'klei adama shei mekabel tuma. Number one, we used utensils that weren't mekabel tuma. Number two, v'akonim hasarfa is kikul if prishas shivas yamin. And they were makbid that the Kohen should be Pirish 7 days. Vitiknu, and this is going to be relevant now for our mission that we're going to quote in Perek Gimel from Para. That the water that's used for the mechatas should be filled by children that were never tameh. And that was a mila that they did. Okay. So now we know the background behind this, as Rashi explains. Now we're ready to go with the Mishnah itself in Parah. They had these courtyards that were built in Yerushalayim that were on top of a sela. We're going to see in a moment why that's so. And beneath them there was a space. Why? Because if there was any type of Tuma in the ground, there would be a chalal that would create a roof between the rock and where the children were staying, and that would serve as a hefsik, as an oel over the Tuma, and the children who are above it, so the Tuma would not be ritzutza, the Tuma would not go straight up, but rather would hit the rock and would not continue upwards. Umevi'in nashim ubros, and they would bring a pregnant woman, Violdo Sham, and they would give birth there. Megadlos Beneim Sham Lepara, and their children were brought up over there for the Avoda of Paraduma. And when the time came, they had never become Tameh. And when the time came for the woman would give birth over there, and their children would be raised, and then when it was time to prepare the Paraduma, Umevi'in Shvarin Valgaben Losos, Vitinokos Yoshvin Agabeim, they would bring oxen, and there were literally doors, which mean boards, on top, where they would ride on top, and therefore, again, those boards would serve as a oel to prevent them from passing over any tuma. Vikoisis shel evin bidehem, also they would be carrying stone utensils that would not contract tuma. Higiu l'shiloach, they would reach the Meah Shiloach, Yardu l'soch hamayim, they went into the water and they filled up the water for the Mechatas, v'alu v'yoshvu lahem, and they went back and they sat on the doors to protect them again when traveling back from the tumah. Rabbi Yossi says that they didn't even get off from the boards that were carried by the animals, but rather from that place they would lower down buckets to fill up the water, lest in that river there be a problem of kever hatahom. Utanya, we learned in a brayso, Rabbi Yehuda Imer loy mivin losos elo shvarim. Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that they didn't bring the doors, but rather they only brought the oxen. In other words, the children did not sit on boards, but rather they sat on oxen. Asks the Gemara, we just got through beginning our sugya on the bottom of Chaf on the base, where Rabbi Yehuda had taught us that the halacha is that a living creation or a natural made creation does not serve as a oel. That was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Yet over here we seem to see something different. Vitanya, we learned, Rabbi Yehuda Amar lo yemivin dlasos ela shvarim. Vashvarim da oel shein asa midei adam hu. Shvarim are not considered an oel that is man-made. Uktani Rabbi Yehuda Amar lo yemivin dlasos ela shvarim. And yet Rabbi Yehuda was the one who had taught us that the boards were what serves as the hefsek. So which one is it? Is a natural oel a oel, or only is a man-made oel an oel? Here it seems, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the ox serves as an oel. Says Gemara, Kiyasra of Dimi Amar Rabbi Lazar, Maida Rabbi Yehuda Kimlo Egrif. The Rabbi Yehuda would be Maida when we're talking about something that's larger than a tefach. In other words, when do we say the halacha is that only a man-made oel is considered an oel? That's in a case of where the ola is only creating distance of a tefach. However, if it's melo agrav, so then in such a case, Rabbi Yehuda would be moida. Tanya nami hachi, the Gemara concludes 7 lines from the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph that we see a brisa like this. Umoda Rabbi Yehuda b'shakifin ubenikike hasloin. When it comes to a rock fall, and when it comes to spaces in between rocks, Rabbi Yehuda is moida. And it must be that because there was a gap of a full fist. And there, Rabbi Yehuda will be maida that even a natural oel would serve as an oel. We now continue 7 lines from the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. You might have heard some noise in the background before. That was because I was traveling with the Talmidim to Kivrei Tzadikim in Sfas. I'm now in Nahariya with the Talmidim from Netiv Aryeh by Rabbi David Abuchatzera, waiting for Rabbi David Abuchatzera, so I figured we would continue on with Vaharei Deles, and we pick up 7 lines from the Vaharei Deles, Dieshba Kama Agrufim. It comes to the board that there, asks the Gemara, there are more than one fistful, and yet nevertheless Rabbi Yehuda said, Uktani Rabbi Yehuda, Imer Loye Mevi and Losos Elishvarim. The Rabbi Yehuda says that you're not supposed to bring the boards, rather the oxen. So what do we see from Rabbi Yehuda? What we see is that even if there are many boards, many fist space, nevertheless, the halacha would be that it would be a problem. What would the problem be? So Rashi says the problem would be 6 lines, 7 lines from the bottom. Rashi says the problem would be it's ein derech oil bekach. So if that's ein derech oil bekach when it comes to delosos, so the same thing in regards to shvarim, there should also be a problem of ein derech oil bekach because it is moving. If it's moving, therefore there must be a different issue that's at play. Uktani Rabbi Yehuda Imer Loye Mevin Losos El Shvarim, and Rabbi Yehuda still was okay with the oxen that are there, and that serves as a oel. So what is going on with Rabbi Yehuda? Continues the Gemara 4 lines from the bottom. Chafal from an alf. Amar Abayi lo hutzruchu lahavi dlasos. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is that you don't need to bring dlasos. That you could have a mechitza as well through the shvarim. But einachinami, because there are kama agrufim, the halacha would be even with the behemos, that would be enough to be considered a break, and therefore a valid mechitza. Rava Amar, Rava gives us a different teretz. Lo yimevi and dlos is called ikur. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda was not into bringing the dlosos and dafka, they should use the shvarim, shemipnei shedaito shalkin tinok gasa alav. Because by nature, a child has a confidence, Rashi explains 4 lines from the bottom, when he's sitting on top of a board, that he's on top of a roof, and he's not afraid to fall down. Therefore, we're afraid, continues the Gemara in the last line of Chafal Flamidal, Shema Yoitzi Roisho Yechon Me'evar V'yitma. We're afraid he's going to stick out one of his limbs and then become Tameh. Since we're concerned that he might stick out one of his limbs and become Tameh, Bekehever Tahom, we put him on top of an ox. In contrast, when it comes to an ox, there he has much more trepidation, and since he has more trepidation, he's less likely to stick his limbs out to become tame. And we remember from what we had begun in the beginning of the daf, when it comes to the children, we're concerned that they're going to contract tumah. The Gemara continues on top of Chafal from Beis Tanya Kavase de Rava. We learn the Brice in accordance with Rava. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Loi Mivin Dlosos Kol Ikur Mipnei Shadaito Sheltinik Kasa Lov. That when it comes to the children, Shemayoyzi Roi Sheyachon Me'avara V'yitma B'kever Tahom. That we have the concern that they're going to stick out one of their limbs. Ela Mivin Shvarim Hamitzrim Shekrosesein Rechavos. They brought these bulky oxen that are quite large, Vatinokos Yoshuan al Gabem, and the children sit on their backs, Vakosa shall even be dayan. This seems to be like the opinion of Rava that the children are afraid that they're going to fall when they're on the oxen, and therefore we bring them on the oxen, Vakosha shall even be a dayan, and they're carrying stone utensils, Igila Shiloach, Yardu Malam Va'alu Vyashvulahen Al-Gabayim, like we saw the position of Rava, that we choose the oxen over the boards, not because the boards do not serve as a OL. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that they serve as an OL when you have a size of an egg roof that is mafsik beinehen. However, in this case, there's another calculation, and that is that they're yoshev al gabein, because they're less likely to stick out their limbs.
The Gemara continues 10 lines from the top. Vare mita, when it comes to a bed, the yeshva kama egreifim, there are quite a few fistfuls that's between them. Nevertheless, between the person and the roof, utnan Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, noyim ayinu shayun shein tachas hamita mipnei hazakenim, that when there was a kenim, that we would sleep under the bed, because there wasn't enough room for the zakenim. Asks the Gemara, why isn't there a problem of ohel? It's an ohel arai. It's true, it's an ohel arai. But Rabbi Yehuda said that an ohel of the behemos, which is an ohel arai, as well as the tlosos, those also serve as a mechitza. And says the Gemara, shani mita hoel ulegabo asuya. It's different. A mita doesn't serve as an ohel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because it's made not to serve as a roof for that which is below it, but rather is made to serve for things above it. Hence, it doesn't have a din oil. Asks the Gemara, Shvarim Nami Legabon Asuim. But when it comes to oxen as well, they're not made for what is below. In other words, people generally use the top of the oxen, not the area under its belly. And why then is it considered an oil when it comes to protecting the kids from contracting toma? No, the oxen are different. Then not only is it considered le gabon, it's also considered le matan. Why? Because the shepherds use it to protect themselves. How do they use it? Gemara explains. Sometimes they put their heads underneath the bellies of the oxen to protect them from the sun, and also in the winter to protect them from the rain. Asks Gemara, Yachimita Nami Ho Megina Almenol V'Sandolim Shetachta. There is a purpose for a bed. You put your shoes under your bed, and it protects the shoes and sandals. So a mita is also le mata suyin? Question mark. Elam Arava, Rava said no. Shani Shvarim Hova Suyin Lahagin Al Bnei Me'ayin Shelahin. No, it's not simply that it's there to protect something underneath every once in a while, but it's always there to cover and protect their intestines. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, Oru Basar Tau Bisheni Ubatzamas V'Gidim T'Saychecheni, that the flesh of a person and of an animal, it covers their bones and their sinews. And it's not considered just a temporary. Oh, well, like a bed is sometimes for shoes, but it's something, as we mentioned, that's permanent. V'bay seman, if you want, I could give you an explanation. The Gemara now is explaining again why Rabbi Yehuda would say that you'd be able to sleep under a mita, even though when you have a shear of kama grofim, all types of ohelim is considered a significant ohel. Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, there's a totally different reason that Rabbi Yehuda says that you could sleep under a bed in a sukkah. To Amar, because he holds sukkah is deres keva bo'inan, that a sukkah needs to be considered a deres keva. In other words, when you construct a sukkah, you're creating a sukkah that's a deres keva for 7 days. Rashi explains that that's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasa yandav zayin amibes. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the halacha is that you need four walls because you need a sukkas keva. V'havele mita diras arai, and the mita is a temporary dwelling. V'sukkah oil keva, and a sukkah is a permanent dwelling. V'lo asi oil arai umevatel oil keva, and you don't have a temporary dwelling that comes along to be mevatel a kavua dwelling. And that is why it's not a problem of sleeping under a bed, according to Rabbi Yehuda. In contrast, the Shita the Rabbanan, if they don't require a diras keva, so then an oel arai, sleeping under a bed, could be mevata l'sukkah, which is also an oel arai. Asks the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Nami, sukkah der keva bo'inan. But there is an opinion of Rabbi Shimon who holds that when it comes to sukkah, you need a diras keva. Va'asi, oel arai, mevata l'sukkah keva. He holds that an oel arai can come along and be mevatel o'akeva. Answers the Gemara, Baha Pligi, this is the Machlokis. Mar Savar, one holds, Asi Ola Rayu Mavatal Ola Keva. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is that sleeping under a mita is acceptable because you could have Ola Rayu be Mavatal and Ola Keva. Mar Savar, the other Mandarma holds, Loy Asi Ola Rayu Mavatal Ola Keva. That you won't have an Ola Rayu come to be Mavatal Ola Keva. We now continue with an analysis of the next part of our Mishnah with what Rabbi Shimon had said. We're now on the road with the yeshiva towards Bnei Brak. Bezer Hashem will be going to see Rabbi Beryl Pavarsky and Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. We have a few interesting questions that the Talmidim are prepared to ask them. But let's now continue with our daf. Amar Rabbi Shimon Maisa B'Tevi Avdo. Rabbi Shimon had mentioned in our Mishnah that there was a story with Tevi, his Eved, who slept under the bed. Why? Because Eved was Potter from mitzvahs, and therefore, if there was a Yisrael or an Eved, Yisrael should not sleep under the bed, because you cannot sleep under the bed in the sukkah. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon. We learned two things. Now this braisa spells out what Rabbi Shimon had taught us. We learned the following things. Number one, we learned that avodim are potter from sukkah, and that's why they slept under the bed. And also, those who sleep under the bed are not yotzei derechiv, and that's why Yisrael wasn't sleeping under the bed. Says the Gemara, let us say that we learned a third lesson, particularly without Rabbi Shimon. It could very well be that this lesson would have been lost, and that is some say it was the name of Rav Nuna who said the name Rav. Even when Talmidim Chacham are telling stories, you could learn things from it. You have to pay attention, says Rashi. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Va'aleu lo yibol. Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Aleph says, we said this today, davening by the kever of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, first parak of Tehillim. Asher piru yitim bi'ito, a tzaddik is like a tree growing by a brook of water that give fruits, and its branches, even the thin ones, do not die. Rashi explains, va'aleyu, even the thin, small things of the tzaddikim are not meant to die. They're supposed to be, even the sichas kala of tzaddikim, we're supposed to infer from. We had mentioned originally that we were going to go up until the Mishnah on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, but let's go to the end of the daf because we have a little bit more time that we're able to learn together. Zakteh the Mishnah, Semich Sukkaseh Bekarei Amita Ksheira. Somebody leans his sukkah and supports it with his bed. Tanakhama says it's pasha. Kosher. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, disagrees. Meini Chol Lamed Bifnei Atzma Psula. This is the reason that is called the psul of maimid. That's what the Gemara is about to bring out. The Rabbi Yehuda says that if you're maimid sukkah kosher on something that's tameh, it's going to be a problem. My time into Rabbi Yehuda. That's what the Gemara brings out. Pli bar b'zei rabav bar ma'achadam apnei shein lo keva. One is that's not the explanation we just gave in our mission. That's not permit. V'chadam apnei shein ma'amida b'davra mekabel tuma, because your violation of the din of maimid, which means to support a sukkah with a mekabel tuma. My benai, what's enough gemin between these reasons? Either ein lo keva versus ma'amid v'davar kabel tuma. Kegoin shenot shifutin shel barzel. If you angled it and supported it with spits of steel, v'sike chameh, and then you put schach on top. L'mandam alfish ein lo keva reish lo keva. This is a very, very strong sukkah. And it will be a problem. The Gemara continues four lines from the bottom. Amar Abayi lo yishanu ela samach. The only time we learn the halacha that it's going to be a problem is if you supported the schach on the posts of the bed themselves. Aval sikech agabe mita. But if you didn't put it on the bed itself, but rather you put it above the bed. How did you do that? You put other posts, the Mefarshim explain, Rashi, in Dibar Maschil Avol, as well as others, that you didn't put it directly on the Karamita. Ela, on Rashi says, Ela Gabi Yisodas, but on other posts, so then in such a case, then it would be fine. And you could have a sukkah bed. Then Ksheira, then in such a case, it would be Ksheira. Maitaima, What would the rationale be? Let's plug them into two mandarim. The mandarim fi shein lo keva harehish lo keva. Now it's kavua. It's not a sukkah that's dependent on the posts of a bed. Mandarim beish mi mekavul tuma hare ein ma mi davar mekavul tuma. You're not putting it on something that's mekavul tuma. This Bezer Hashem concludes Daf Chaf Aleph in Mesechah Sukkah.